Well, hey, I'm just preaching through the Bible here. And there's a story here about a married couple shows up to church, gives an offering, and falls down dead. I believe that this is really about dangerous games that people play with God.
This is Straight Talk.
Well, you know, Steve, there's a lot of confusion out there about the Holy Spirit and a lot of extremes on what role the Holy Spirit should play in our lives. One of the confusions that I often hear is people say, well, you've been saved, but have you received the Holy Spirit? Well, I want to clarify that for a moment. You cannot be a born-again believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, without having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it is at the moment of your salvation that salvation is worked out in your life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that comes inside of you the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, bow your knee and welcome Him into your life. He comes via the Holy Spirit. And so there is no such thing as a believer that does not possess the Holy Spirit. Some people refer to the book of Acts and John's disciples who had been baptized unto repentance but had not yet heard of the Holy Spirit. But that was a season in the history of the church between the baptism of John of repentance and the coming of the Holy Spirit that was a unique time in history. Since the days of Pentecost, now the moment that you come to Christ, you also receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, if you're a believer out there thinking, well, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit in me or not, you do. If you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. In fact, you cannot live, breathe, exist in the Christian walk without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue today with Pastor Mark's series called Supernatural. And today we are in a message called Purity in Community. Let's get right into the Word. Our text will be found in the book of Acts chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark with today's edition of Straight Talk.
This gathering of people here this morning is nothing but just a gathering of people unless the powerful, extraordinary, supernatural presence of God dwells among us. And I just want to let you know that God is here via His Holy Spirit. You say, well, how do you know that, Mark? How do you know that God is here? I know that because His Word declares that where two or three gather together in His name, He is there amongst them. I know that because at our previous service, there were people getting their lives right with God, and God was touching them deeply and powerfully. I know that because I sense His presence even now as I'm speaking. I know that God is present here. He's not far off. He's not distant. He is here right now amongst us. It's a powerful thing that the presence of the God of the universe is here this morning. Amen? So, Supernatural is the series we've been talking about, Community of the Spirit. What is a supernatural community? It's a place where God dwells and supernatural things happen. And we've been looking through the book of Acts, the first few chapters of the book of Acts. And today I want to talk to you about not a very popular topic. In fact, the central story to what we're talking about this morning has to do with a married couple that shows up to church and dies. You say, well, Mark, you know, I thought it was going to be a little more positive message. Well, hey, I'm just preaching through the Bible here. And there's a story here about a married couple shows up to church, gives an offering, and falls down dead. So, it's an interesting story, by the way, a great story. And we're going to learn some lessons from that. But I believe that this is really about dangerous games that people play with God. You know, there's dangerous games that kids play, right? A few months ago in the news, there was a news article about a game that junior high kids were playing where they would run, get their heart rate up, and then they would come and someone would like hug them real tight until they'd almost pass out and then release. And it's called the suffocation game. You ever heard of that one? Several kids died because of that and they'd get a little buzz because of that. Dangerous game. There was another game in the newspaper not too long ago where they talked about kids that were playing this game of crossing the expressway fast. And so they'd run across the expressway in 55-mile-an-hour traffic going back and forth and seeing how they could dodge the cars and get on the other side fast enough. Not a recommended game. Dangerous game. When I was 10 years old, I remember that my parents got me a chemistry set. And of course, like every boy, you want to make something dangerous out of whatever you have, right? So I figured out the formula of making gunpowder. It wasn't a gunpowder kit, but I figured I'll use this chemistry set. And I made myself a nice, strong mountain of gunpowder. And I figured out that if you take two bolts with a nut in the middle and pour a little gunpowder there and put the bolt on the other side and tighten it, not too tight because it can explode, and you take that big bolt and you throw it against a brick wall, that the gunpowder is almost like a gun. It explodes. And this bolt would just shoot out, break branches. It would shoot out like a gun, basically. And so me and my buddies decided to play this game. And we had a blast. You know, we'd take these bolts, throw them, and they'd explode. We'd hide behind trees until the police heard about it. We all ran off running. The owner of the house came out. And in retrospect, I think, what a dumb game. I mean, someone could literally have been killed if a bolt, would these big bolts, would have hit them on the head. But when you're young and immature, you play dumb games, right? Spiritually, sometimes. We're grown up now. We shave. But we still play some of these silly games as well with God. And this is about a game that this couple was playing with God that ultimately took their life. It was just a immature game that ended up taking their life, because there's certain games that you play with God that literally put at risk your very own life. And so I'm going to begin reading in chapter 4, verse 32, and then we're also going to go into chapter 5 of Acts, the book of Acts. It says in verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord, and much grace was upon them all. Now, just to catch you up a little bit what had happened, on the day of Pentecost, 120 were gathered together in an upper room. There was a sound of a mighty wind. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And the first day of the church, it grew from 120 to 3,120. So the church grew exponentially. And people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was this buzz about what was happening, because people were coming to Christ and others were being healed. And some were being convicted, and people from all over were hearing that Jesus had power, and people were added, and there was this great multitude in Jerusalem. You couldn't choose your church because there was only one church, the Church of Jerusalem, and God was doing incredible things among them. Think about it. They had no Bibles because the printing press had not been invented, and they couldn't sit down and have a Bible study. They had no church buildings, no microphones, no PowerPoint, no drums, no electric guitars, just 3,120 people that gathered together in homes to talk about the power of God and the power of Jesus. And the church grew. And one day, Peter and John were walking into the temple, and there was a crippled man asking for a handout, and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up. And the power of God was released. The crippled man stood to his feet. A crowd gathered around. There was a buzz in the air. And the religious people were so angry, because sometimes when God starts working, the religious people get mad. Hello? How many of you know that? That when God works in genuine ways, sometimes people that are just religious don't like what God is doing. The Sanhedrin rose up and they arrested Peter. And they said, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And he said, well, you tell me, is it good for me to listen to man or God? I will continue to speak in Jesus' name. They warmed him. They released him. He went back to the church. They held the prayer meeting. The power of God came upon them again in an extraordinary way. And that leads us right up to the point where we're at in the story, in this account now. So there's a whole bunch of people. There's a buzz in the air. And leads me to my first point. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. This is important. I want you to understand this, that strong grace attracts attention. Notice what it says in verse 33. The apostles testified with great power concerning the resurrection of Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. I love the word grace. Do you know what grace means? It's the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. It means that you haven't done anything to earn it. You're not good enough for it. But God just chooses to pour it out on you. It just flows out of his goodness. It's the grace of God. And the Bible says that much grace was upon these people. In other words, there was favor upon them that they hadn't earned or deserved, but God was just pouring it upon them. You know, as New Life continues to grow and we continue to start new locations and affect other people, I get a lot of calls throughout the, practically every month, several calls come in from churches and pastors and leaders from around the country that have heard about what we're doing. And oftentimes they'll say, tell us, what is it that you are doing and what is the secret? And tell us, we want to know what is the secret to what God is doing there. What is the method that you're using? And I have to say, you know, I'm not really sure. We're not smart enough to figure out some technique or secret. But one thing I do know, the grace of God is upon us. We're not smart enough for it. We don't have a master plan. What we're trying to do is we're trying to keep our hearts clean, our spirits sensitive, and follow God. And he's opening up all kinds of doors that on our own we could not open up, we couldn't engineer, we couldn't knock down. It's just God opening up these doors in spite of us. It's the grace of God. And I felt that grace heavy on my life at times. When I knew that this was beyond me, I felt the grace of God, God's power, his goodness being poured out upon us as a church and me as an individual, and there's nothing like the powerful grace of God. Amen? So it said the grace of God was powerfully among them or on them. And then it goes on to say, listen, and there was no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands and houses sold them. They brought the money from the sales and they put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned, and he brought the money and he put it at the apostles' feet.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Purity in Community, which is from our series called Supernatural. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Acts chapter 4, and today's message is called Purity in Community.
Here's what I want you to understand about the grace of God. When God starts pouring his grace on in a strong way, people will be attracted to the grace of God. Barnabas felt so into what God was doing, almost so inspired by the move of God, that he took a piece of property that was his family's and he sold the whole thing and he brought all of the proceeds and he brought it to Peter and he said, here you go, Peter, use this for the ministry. The grace of God causes us to behave in extraordinary ways. It says, listen to this, there were no needy people among them. Why? Because there was such a generous spirit among them caused by the grace of God that people were going out of their way to meet needs of others. They were bringing people into their homes, and they were sharing meals, and they were giving possessions. They cared about one another. Why? Because the Spirit of God was moving strongly upon them in such a way that many were being added to their number. The church was growing because people were attracted to the grace of God. Here's what I want you to understand. Where God's grace is heavy, it attracts people. People start to be attracted to the grace of God. People are drawn to the presence of God and the grace of God. And some of you are here this morning because you visited. You'd never been to a Christian church before, but maybe a friend of yours said, hey, come out, check this weird group of people that meets in a warehouse and that's really into God. And you say, well, I'm not a church-going person, but I'll check it out. And you came and you sense that the presence of God and something is different there. And hey, they don't have stained glass windows in the steeple, but something is true about that place, that God is working and moving. And you saw transformed lives and it attracted you here. And some of you are here and following Jesus because of that, the grace of God. Barnabas, who became a believer during that time. It's a great story, Barnabas, because Barnabas, if you recall, he was the guy that took the Apostle Paul under his wings and encouraged the Apostle Paul. And many of you know that the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest writers of the New Testament and one of the strongest evangelists, but he couldn't have been who he was without Barnabas. Barnabas was the one that was entrusted to give the relief to the poor. He was the first partner with Paul on his missionary journey. He was the advocate for John Mark when he had blown it. Barnabas was a guy that had genuinely been converted. His heart was completely consecrated to God. He was a true believer. Here's what I want you to understand, though. That every time there is a true believer, and every time the church starts growing in a strong way, there will always be those that come around, not because they really want to follow Christ, just but because there's a buzz in the air, and it seems like an interesting place to be. Which leads me to my second point. I want you to write this down. I want you to understand that great attention demands a purified mission. Jot that down. Because in chapter 5, they introduce us to Ananias and Sapphira. Now, Ananias and Sapphira had just seen Barnabas, who was highly respected, take a property and give a lot of money to the church. And all the people were like, wow, look at that. This brother is so committed. He gave his whole property. He gave a lot of money. And he was respected. And people were really affirming Barnabas. Ananias and Sapphira were a couple. They saw what Barnabas had done, and look at what they did. It tells us, now a man named Ananias, I'm looking at Acts chapter 5, verse 1, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back a part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and he put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? And you have kept for yourself some of the money that you had received for the land. Verse 4. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and he died. And great fear seized all those who heard what had happened. Here's the story. Ananias and Sapphira, they see Barnabas and what he did, and they're inspired by it. So they decided, hey, we're going to sell a piece of property too. And we're going to take it and give it to the apostles' feet, just like Barnabas did. But they decided, we're going to sell it and we're going to keep some of the money for ourselves, but we're going to act like we're giving it all to the church, all to the ministry. Ananias came to Peter and he said, here's all the money for the property. Peter tells him, hey, you didn't. What possessed you that you should lie? No one was pressuring you to sell this property. And after you sold it, it was all your money. It wasn't about how much he gave. It was about the deceitful motives that he lied and said, all this is God's, all this is what I got for the property, but yet he was holding some for himself. And it said, as soon as he said that, Peter said to him, Ananias, what possessed you that you should lie to God? And immediately right there in front of all the people, he fell and died dead. This had nothing to do with a clogged artery. Had nothing to do with a sudden heart attack. It had everything to do with the power of God striking him dead right then and there because he was lying to the Holy Spirit. And so then it says the Apostle Peter, he called the youth ministry and he said, hey, I have a job for you. The youth ministry came out and he said, bury this guy. That's what it says. And the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, carried him out and buried him. 3 hours later, his wife came in. Now, where was his wife? I'm not sure. I kind of imagine she was probably out there shopping. She had a lot of leftover money. She was probably out there shopping. You know how women get when they shop. You know, she probably came all in all giddy. She bought an extra pair. You know, when you come back from shopping, don't you have a little buzz, a little high, you know? Walk in, I bought a new pair of shoes to add to my 30 other pair of shoes I have in the closet. And I got this purse that's just the right color of brown because I had a too dark brown, too light brown. But this is right in the middle brown and it goes just perfect with my shoes. So she walks in a little happy, a little giddy. 3 hours later, people are looking at her. She walks up to Peter. Peter says, hey, Sapphira, I have a question for you. He says, he asks her, he says to her, tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? She's still buzzing with the happiness of what she's bought. She says, yes, that's the price. And Peter says to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. And at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. And Peter called the youth ministry again. They're getting a little tired of this. And he says, come. And they carried her out and they buried her beside her husband. Now, I don't know what goes through your mind when you read that story. But what goes through my mind immediately is, wow, God, that seems kind of harsh. I mean, I can think of a lot of other sins that seem worse than lying on your offering. Like, how about adultery or murder, beating your kid? I mean, it seems like this would rank real low. Why would God strike people dead in church? I mean, a little over the top, don't you think? I think, God, you're a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of justice. Why would you just give people this death sentence over something that doesn't seem all that, I mean, it doesn't seem so terribly, terribly bad. The other thing that crosses through my mind is whatever it is they did, I don't want to do it myself. And as I began to read this, I began to discover, here's at the heart, it wasn't about how much they gave, and it wasn't really about the offering, but what God was doing, it was about the purity of their heart. And see, I think there was four things wrong with Ananias and Sapphira that caused the judgment and discipline of God to come upon their life so severely. Number one, this couple died because they were more concerned about what people thought than what God thought. You see, I believe that the death of a movement, the death of the real community of faith, is hypocrisy and religiosity. I'm convinced that if you want to stop a move of God really fast, just get people to be religious and get people to be fake about their following God, and you'll stop a movement real fast and it'll just turn into a church service, but not a real move of God. Are you tracking with me? You see, sometimes, for some reason, we have this habit, or we're taught, that we need to have our act all together. And if we don't have our act all together, we need to act like we have it all together. And we need to smile and put on a front that makes us look a little bit more spiritual and a little bit more religious than really what we are. Because we're more concerned about what people think than what God thinks.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago at our main campus, New Life Midway, with his message entitled Purity in Community, which is from our series called Supernatural. Join us on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.